Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to our everyday lives. So join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now, here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
What am I trying to hide? And why do I keep on waiting when I know it's on the other side? It's time to let the light in, let the light in.
Hey everyone, Pastor Kevin Radlin here. Just wanted to take a moment and let you know that every Friday we're going to give you a piece of the sermon from our Sunday service so that you can enjoy and see what we're doing here at Lighthouse Christian Church every week. So I hope you enjoy this and that it ministers to you today. Be blessed in the name of Jesus.
So, all right, today I want to talk to you about promises. Somebody say promises. You know, the Moody made a statement. Go ahead and throw that up for me, Cody. And he said, you don't know who Moody is? You know, D.L. Moody? God never made a promise that was too good to be true. And I like this statement, and I picked up on it. And I want to run with that a little bit today, because today I want to talk to you about promises. All right, somebody say, I promise. Yeah, don't. It's never good for you. But in Numbers 23:19, it said this: God is not human that he should lie. He is not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? And does he promise and not fulfill? You see, I think a lot of times we're waiting for God. We're wondering if God's going to keep his promises with us. And the scripture is very clear that God has made promises to you in this book. And he has made a covenant with you in this book. And we are not seeing all of the results of those promises in our lives, because the enemy is actually talking us out of God's promises. See, the only power of the false is its ability to hide the truth. And the enemy is coming along and he's hiding the truth of the promises that God has made to you, because God is not a human being that he would change his mind. He has spoken, he is holy, and everything that he has said is true and will be true for your life if you will put your faith in it. If you will trust him with all of your heart, lean not on your own understanding. That's where it always breaks down. But in all your ways, you will acknowledge him. It says he will direct your what? Path. So I want to show you today, you know, just a lot of the different areas that we fall short on in promises. And I want you to know that God is always going to keep his promise to you. All right? So you ready? So, you know, what's the deal with promises? We make them, and then we break them, don't we? And if you're wondering, well, what promises? That's part of the problem. You see, we don't necessarily know what the promises are, so we don't really know how to hold to them in many of our lives. You see, our problem is this, that we fall under intentions. Okay, you know that we actually judge ourselves on our intentions, but we judge other people on their promises. What they say, we judge them on their behavior and their reactions and how they act, but we judge ourselves on our intentions. And that's why we break promises, because we're like, well, I was going to do it. I really wanted to do it. And I don't know why, but I didn't. Does that sound familiar? Anyone? All right, we have two on this side, one over here. Okay, so let's look at this for a minute, because, you know, one of the main reasons that we fail to follow through on personal commitments is that we don't really consider them to be promises. We rather consider them intentions. And I'm coming at you, okay? You know, any boxers in the house? Got one, any others? Any other boxers in the house anywhere? Anyone, show a hand. Oh, we have another one over here. Okay, so I'm going to come at you. Olivia, you're a boxer? My gosh. I would hate to face you in the ring. She's like, All right, so any of these sound familiar? I'm going to start taking better care of myself. Promises, intentions, I'm going to start taking better care of myself. Yeah. How about this one? I'm going to start eating healthier. On Super Bowl Sunday, with Krispy Kreme donuts in the coffee room and chicken wings in the wings. How about exercising? Do we even go there? Right? I've been doing forklifts for like years. There's fry lifts too. Right? Yeah, right? Then how about this one? I'm going to stop bringing work home. That's for all you workaholics. I'm never going to smoke or vape again. Where's Jacob? I'm going to start setting aside quality family time. Yeah. I'm going to start saving a little out of each paycheck. Yeah, all right. Great intentions. All right, how about this one? I'm going to start saying no more often. You know, I have a little little thing they got me because I don't know how to say no. It's a little button, and you push it, and it says, no, 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 no. And you push it, says no. And my wife's like, you need a Velcro patch on that thing to stick it on your chest. And I'm like, what? And she's like, no, no, no. I don't know how to say no. Anyone else? Where's all our yes people? Okay, we're going to be signing people up for kids' church right now. No, 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 you've got it. All right, yes. But here's the deal. Today I want to show you how we many times fail in our intentions. Think about this, to God and to others. And but I want to share with you also how God never changes in his intentions and his promises and commitments towards us. You guys ready? See, I've made promises and I've kept some of them, and I've made promises and I've broken some of them in my own life. You want to hear some of my personal promises that I've made? I promise to read my Bible every day, Lord. Pastor, you don't read your Bible every day? You do. I know. I know. I read my Bible most days, but, you know. How about this one? I'm going to have devotional time with you, honey, my wife. All right, guys. Yeah. Guys, yeah. You know what I'm saying. So, oh, by the way, guys, you got 2 days. Get it right. Don't blow it. Candy. Oh, I don't like candy. They do. They do like candy. I don't want flowers. Yes, they do. They want flowers. I'm just helping you. No. Oh, go to dinner? Nah, we're good. We'll stay at home. No, they want to go to dinner. Listen to your pastor. Just tell them. How about... this one's one of the promises I've made. I'm going to eat less. I'm going to exercise more. We've heard it. It's a long list. But have you ever broken a promise? Have you personally ever broken a promise to yourself or to others? Okay, because it's not just the promises to others that we break. We make promises a lot to ourselves and then we break them. Things like, I promise to do more around the house, but you don't. I'm going to knock out that laundry pile. No, you're not. I promise to stop overspending. Maybe some of us have even broken bigger promises, like we've had an affair. You know? marital promises, things like that. It's happening all around us. Look around the world. It's not uncommon that people are breaking, severe consequences for breaking these promises that we make to each other, but yet we're doing it. Why? Here's the bottom line. Broken promises, whether they're big or small, break trust. They break trust. And I think a lot of us are not receiving from God in our lives because we don't trust Him. We have broken trust from promises that were made by other people and even ourselves, and we've broken those promises in our lives, so we don't trust ourselves and we don't trust others, and in doing that, we don't trust God either. And I think that's a major breakdown for us in the church, is that we don't trust God. He said, my promises are true. I'm holy. My word I will not go back on. I will not lie. You see, trust is earned when actions meet words. That's where trust comes from. So God is saying, you know what? My actions will meet my words, but if you don't trust me, you're never going to put that requirement on it. And therefore, you're never going to see that breakthrough that God wants to have with you in your life because you haven't trusted Him. The Bible says, trust the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. What do you mean? Oh, well, I think that everybody's going to break their promises to me. So why would I think God would be any different? You know, don't lean on your own understanding. You got to trust that what God says is true. And that it's true for you. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will what? He will direct your path. You know, I think that's incredible. You see, God's promises to us are a word in the Bible called covenant. Say covenant. It's kind of a Christianese term. We don't use like, hey, covenant brother, come on over. You know, but God is in a covenant with you. He's made a promise to you. And there were old covenant and new covenant promises that have been made. Do you realize that in making a covenant in the Old Testament that God promised a blessing for the obedience and particular commandments that were followed? He gave the Ten Commandments and He said, if you'll do this, then I am in a covenant with you, then I will do this. If you do this, I will bless you. If you do this, I will make your descendants great. I will pour blessings into your life. But if you don't do this, you're going to live under a curse. You're going to live under toil, and you're going to have to suffer the consequences of not fulfilling the obligations of the covenant. Do you realize that that's the way it worked in the old covenant? So, you know, what is the main purpose of a covenant? It means that it qualifies us to receive the blessings that God had promised. Okay, so based on the old covenant, we have promises that were promised, and if we obey and keep those covenant rules, then we receive the blessings. But if we don't, what happens? That's where angry God came from, because God's judgment fell on the old covenant law. If you broke the rules, you got thwarted. The children of Israel broke the laws of God and ended up enslaved. I'm here today to tell you there's a lot of people in this modern day that we live in right now that are enslaved by laws, by regulations, and they're under this old covenant, and they're living under this old covenant, and they're being thwarted in their life because they are not able to break the bonds of that covenant. But you see, we have a new covenant. Think about this. God made a new promise to us. His name is Jesus. Say Jesus. Look at this. The new covenant or promise was always the plan. It was always God's plan that He would get us under the covenant of His Son. Now, we were living in the old covenant, and God had to make the Old Testament and the old covenant because Jesus wasn't on the scene yet. There had to be a deal struck with mankind beforehand because there was no Savior yet. So God couldn't bring the new covenant into our lives. So we had to have an old covenant. But the old covenant, where it failed, the new covenant was even more powerful than that one before. But you can see that this covenant was prophesied. The covenant of Jesus was prophesied all the way back in Jeremiah. Look at this, Jeremiah 31, 33 and 34. It says, "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and I will write it on their hearts. And I'll be their God and they'll be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." That's Jesus right there. That is the new covenant being prophesied, that there's a day right now, my laws aren't on your heart, my thoughts aren't in your mind, but there's a day coming, if you can receive the gift of my son Jesus in your life, that I will write them on your heart. You'll know me. It won't be, "How do I know the Lord?" You will know me. That's where we want to get in our life, into a position where God is so real that we know what his promises are because he's written them in our hearts. And the enemy can't shake us. He can't get us to deviate from what God's plan is for our lives. So I want to look at what that plan is. You know that he actually wrote it. It's in the New Testament as well, the New Covenant, in Hebrews 8, 7 through 12. "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then there would have been no place would have been sought for a second." So God's showing you in the Word that the first covenant had to be struck, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't the final plan, because finding fault with them, he said, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I'll put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord.'" Same scripture. You see this, right? They're quoting it out of Jeremiah. "For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them." But look what he added. "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." So what is God's promise to you? He's not going to remember your sins anymore. When you give your life to Jesus, when you accept Christ into your life, that every sin that you've committed, past, present, and future, is hidden in Christ. It's once and for all been put into forgetful state. God does not remember your sins. He's not looking at you and saying, "Oh man, they're blowing it again." He already knew you were going to blow it all the time. So he made provision for him not to ever have to look at you from a perspective of you falling short anymore if you would accept the gift of Jesus in your life. Isn't that good news? So what is the enemy trying to get you to do? He's trying to get you to look at your sin, and he's trying to get you to turn away from God because you feel guilty. When you look at God, when you go to God, and you feel guilty and condemned by your sin, right? Anybody ever been there? Let me make this a little more relatable. You owe me 20 grand. Every one of you, I'm collecting it right now. Go ahead, pull your wallets out. No. You owe me 20 grand, and I'm walking down the mall, and you see me coming. What are you going to do? You're going to dart right into Victoria's Secret, right, guys? Here comes the pastor. I owe him 20 grand. That happened to me. And I went over there. I was like, "Hey, what's up, man? You shopping?" They're like hiding behind, you know, the bras, waiting for me to walk by. For real. True story. So what are the promises that we have? We've got to know what God has given us. We got to know what the promises are because he already said, my word is my bond. And I'm not human that I would lie. I've told you things. You need to just start believing them. By his stripes, I am healed. Do you believe it? It's a promise. It's been given to you by God. The enemy's trying to trick you into not accepting that promise. So here's the first promise. He will write his laws on our hearts. He's going to sanctify you. He's going to make us holy and pure and perfect in his sight. He's going to align our hearts with his character. Didn't always work, though. In the Old Testament, you know, God expected us to, you know, align with his character. And then Moses comes back with the law. And they're worshiping the golden calf. That didn't take long, did it? So how fast our hearts will change if his laws aren't written on our hearts. Our hearts will change. But when God writes his law on your heart, then it's there. When the rubber meets the road, it's there. That's what we need. Second promise. I promise to be their God and make them my people. You are God's people. You're under covenant. You have a covenant with the living God. What does that mean? He's your shield. He's your refuge. He's your strength. He's your ever-present help. In a time of need, he wants you to rely on him. He wants you to trust him. And he wants you to let him do things on your behalf as his children. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this: if anyone's in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Are you seeing this? Okay. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Say, I'm reconciled. Not imputing their trespasses to them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So what does he say next? So now we're ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Receive the promise. Come under covenant. That's what the scripture's saying. On Christ's behalf, come under covenant with God and watch what I can do in your life. See my power, see my glory revealed to the world through you. God's got big plans. He wants to do amazing things for you. Third promise, God promises to reveal himself to the world. He's going to use you. He said, go into all the world and preach what? The gospel. What is the gospel? The new covenant. You realize the gospel is the new covenant struck in the blood of Jesus, that he went to the cross. He died for everyone so that he could blot out their sins and wipe away their iniquities and not look at them anymore, and he could write his laws on your heart and their hearts, and he could set them free, because he who the Son sets free is what? Free. All right, I got to breathe. I'm trying to go fast. It's okay. I know we're over a little. But you know what? Look at Hebrews 13:20. This is promise four. God promises to forgive our sins and remember them no more. Why are we remembering our sins if God isn't? Why are we spending so much time on our worrying about our sins that God doesn't even remember? Stop looking at, you know, the more you look at your sin, the more you'll sin. The more you look at God, the more righteous you will live. So quit looking at your sin. God's not looking at it. you can stop looking at it too. Here it is right here in Hebrews 13, 20. Now may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. You see, there's never going to be another covenant. We have an everlasting covenant now. Jesus has paid the price that God's wrath and God's anger has been satisfied through the cross. And Jesus has made a new covenant with us. He's fulfilled the obligations of the old covenant. The old covenant didn't go away. The Ten Commandments are still in play. You've got to obey every one of them, or else you are going to fall under the judgment of God. But here's the good news. The judgment of God has already been placed on Jesus. So all you got to do is put yourself in Christ, and now you no longer have to be worried about any judgment from God for what you can't do in the old covenant. Jesus did for you in the new covenant.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. Lighthouse Generational Ministries wants to remind you that we have so many things to do here at the church. Every Tuesday night at 6:30, we have our young adult ministry, Vessel. Vessel is for ages 18 to 29 years old, and they meet in the round building on our campus and have a great time in worship and learning. Every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we have Lifeline Youth. 7th to 12th graders gather for dinner in the fellowship hall, and then they hang out till 8:30 playing games, learning, and just being teens. Encourage your kids to put down that game controller and come have some real fun. Every Thursday, we have men's and ladies' Bible study here at Lighthouse. A relevant teaching of the Bible is always on hand, so come out and join us as we grow together as a church family. There's something for the entire family at Lighthouse, so plug in today. For more details, call the church office at 321-452-1012 or check online at ourlighthouse.net.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.